Good morning, church. You're in for a treat this morning. You know it's going to be good because we got Bob and Tammy sitting on the front row. I got to pick on Bob. I just want to give you a quick introduction. I know most of you probably know Kenny. But in our structure, the way we're set up, the way our church kind of functions, this is kind of a little preview for step one, is that we have local leaders, what we call trustees. It's a group of six right now, and their job is to oversee the finances. They set the budget every year, and it's a really great accountability between me and us as a staff, and to keep us in check, and they keep up with everything that goes on as far as the finances. And then beyond that, we have what we call overseers. Most of you will remember Justin Grace, who's been here several times before, and the other one is Kenny. And the overseer's job is two main purposes. The first one is that their job is to spiritually guide the church if something were to happen to me, or they have the authority to step me out if there's something wrong in my life. And so their job is to take care of you. And we had to find people, and I found people that not only trust for my life, but I trust for yours. So you can listen to the word he's going to share this morning with you from that understanding, is that I think enough of him to put him in a position to be able to help lead and guide this church if something were to happen to me. The second function is they watch over me. They're my authority. They're the ones that have authority over my life. Like I said, they can sit me down or send me to get help or whatever needs to happen. But they're also the guys that I talk to, that pray for me, if I have questions or I just need personal. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to find somebody as a pastor that you can really just go open up and be honest with. And so it's really nice to have somebody in your life that you can call. And with Justin and with Kenny, I know that I can do that. And so you need to know it's really important for you as well that you have somebody as a church body that's watching over you, that prays for you, that wants the best for you. And that, because I truly believe this, what we see here is not hanging on me. We don't point it all at one person. That's not hanging on Melanie. It's God doing something here. So there's got to be somebody that can see the big picture and keep the church going if something were to go on and happen to me. I pray that never happens and we can all grow old together and do the kingdom of God together. But how many of you know you got to be under authority to have authority? And I truly, truly believe that. So without taking up any more of his time, why don't you guys give a nice South Georgia, Screven County welcome to Kenny Large.
Welcome to Believers Church. All right. Good to be here. I come down on Friday. We've been having a good time and went to dinner last night with Clint and Melly and the girls. And Mabel said, Melly told him we're going to eat with a speaker. And she said, who's the speaker? Are they kid friendly? She told her it was Kenny Large. She said, he's kid friendly. Now, I was sitting beside her at dinner last night, and I said, are you adult friendly? She said, what you mean? I said, if I'm kid friendly, you got to be adult friendly so we can be friendly together. Amen. So good to be here. Good to be staying at the Sims Hotel. It's one of my favorite places to stay. Hallelujah. You got to have a special invitation to stay there. I got my own private quarters. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to be in Tammy, and Bob's taking good care of me and Penny there as well. Amen. It's really good, and been blessed with a couple people blessing me with some good meat to take back home this year. We had a deer, blue tongue, got most of our deer, and I wasn't blessed to be able to get a deer, but God's blessed me, and a couple people's going to give me some deer meat to take back home to Kentucky. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be a little bit stingy with that. I ain't going to share too much, all right? But God's good, amen? Turn with me to the scriptures, and let me kind of share with you and go along with what Clint had said as well. I pray for you all on a daily basis, not only your pastor, but for you as a church. I believe God sent me here to be part of this church years ago. As a matter of fact, I personally send my personal tithes here to this church. You can ask Clint. I send checks. I've got one in my pocket for the offering come time. I believe in what you're doing here. Okay, here's my question. How much do you believe what they're doing here? And where do you fit in what they're doing here? So I'm going to touch on a few things like that a little bit this morning, and I may pray for some people today. I feel led a little bit to pray for some people that maybe need some prayer today, so we maybe just a little bit, and I'll turn it back over to Clint, then I'll be here to pray for you as well. But I tell you how I got this sermon. I like to watch certain shows, and me and my wife brings greetings. She's had to work, and she's been dealing with some things with her parents. Her mom has dementia, and her mom has been moving out of the house for the last week. And, you know, it's kind of funny in one aspect, but not in another, because this disease is not very very good on people's health. But so I went over on Monday, and she had me taking things off the wall. She was ready to move, and I said, "Where are you moving to, Irene?" She said, "I'm moving to Flatwoods, Kentucky." I said, "Irene, we're in Flatwoods." She said, "No, we have to move out of here because people's going to come get my stuff." And she was stuffing my pockets full with jewelry, and she whispered at me, and she looked at her husband, and she said, "Do you have pockets?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Hurry, put these in here. I don't want those country people and those city slickers to get my stuff." So I'm not sure what she thought it was, country city slickers or country people, whatever she was going through. So Kathy's dealing with that, but she brings her greetings as well. But I was watching a TV show on TV. It's called The Brave. Some of you may or may not watch it. I like to watch those type of shows. And I know me and Bob sat and talked, and we always DVR about the same shows. And so when I'm in town, I know what he's watching. He knows what I'm watching. But I was watching this TV show, and there was a quote that they said on TV. Sometimes we are not paying enough attention, and God can speak to us in some of the most unusual places. And that's why that I believe that God has instructed me, and I believe he's instructed every believer. If you call yourself a child of God, you got to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that every decision that you make, it lines up with the Word of God, and you are listening to the Holy Spirit. Because when you begin to hear voices, and there's a lot of voices out there, but you got to get so in tune with the Holy Spirit that he's speaking to you. And now some people say, "Well, but the Holy Spirit's never spoke an audible voice to me." No, but you know what? Something will rise up in you that you think, that has to be God. And then way to tell if it's God or if it's something else is you ask, "Well, if I do this, will God get glory for it?" That's the best way. So I was watching this, and I'm going to read the scriptures first here. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, they're going to put them up here on the screen. And we'll go one by one and read these here real quick. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I forgot one. I'm going to read it real quick. They don't have this one, I don't think, up there. Matthew 22, 37 and 39. You can write that down in your little handy note thing that you can write there. It says, "Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.' And he said, 'A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself.'" Next scripture, Psalm 119, 74. "May all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I have put my hope in your word." And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So I was watching this TV show, and it comes on Monday. And we had a school shooting the first of the week in Kentucky. Some of you maybe saw that in Benton, Kentucky. Well, I preach at the church, which is right across the street. So I naturally, as soon as I heard, Kathy gets up earlier than I do. She wakes up before it's even dawn, and she has to get her coffee going. So we've got our system. So she was up, and then I came downstairs and let the dog out, fed the dog, and done all my thing, got my cup of coffee. She said, "Did you hear there was a shooting?" And she was not familiar with the town of Benton, Kentucky. And so I said, she said, "In Kentucky, around the Paducah area." And I said, "Well, what town?" She said, "A little small town." I said, "It wasn't Benton, Kentucky." She said, "That's it." So I then got on the phone, began to text a couple pastors, and the praise and worship, in the praise and worship team in one church that I preach at, which is about a couple miles from there, their bass player in the praise and worship team's nephew got shot in the face. So it devastated the church, and so, but if the pastor friend of mine, he wrote this, and this is profound, and I copied and pasted it. And so 2 or 3 days later, after, you know, there's still all the vans there, the news people, pictures, they're trying to get the information. Some of you maybe probably have seen it on TV, so you saw those. Now, this is what he said. As I drove past the line of news vans this morning, one thought flooded my mind. This tragedy does not define Marshall County. And if these vans would stick around over the next few weeks, months, and years, they would get a clear picture of what Marshall County actually is. Now, I want you to kind of maybe take what I'm going to say and put Believer's Church in there. All right? Marshall County, this is what he said. Marshall County is strength. Marshall County is faith. Marshall County is resolve. Marshall is community. Marshall is family. Marshall is unity. Marshall is love. That's who we really are. So today I want to get down to who really Believer's Church is. And if you are connected in what God has told you, he says the greatest commandment. In that scripture in Matthew, he says this, that they're trying to trick him. They're trying to get to a place that they're trying to trick Jesus. And they say, well, Jesus, you know, there's all these commandments we have, and Moses gave us these commandments, so which one's the best? How many are so many stuck on one-up syndrome? We always want to one-up somebody. And listen, we all are guilty of it. Bob catches a 2-pound fish. Clint catches the 3-pound fish. Bob says, 2-pound fish? What's that? I don't even know what size that is. That's small. That's bait, you know. Bait. But we one-up one another all the time. We live in a society where we can turn the news on, and it's always about tragedies, about this one. We're grumbling, complaining about this politician, that politician. And sometimes it gets over in the church. I like to watch sports. I used to say I love sports, but I don't really like it and love it as much as I used to, because you turn on, you know, ESPN and Fox Sports. I switched a little bit over because it seems like they're just standing there and they're so opinionated. And they can't just sit and talk like me and Bob talk that we've done this weekend and be cordial. And even though we may or may not agree, but I found out that me and Bob agree a lot. But in the same token is they want to argue, and they want to scream. They're opinionated, and everybody has to be right. Y'all getting real quiet in here. You're either asleep or I've touched a nerve from the beginning. But could you imagine this school shooting and where we're at? Because when I was in school, I mean, I graduated. Megan informed me a while ago that I was an old man. Where'd she go? She already left. She called me. She said, do good, old man. You're on the front row. She said, you do know I'm kidding you. I said, the spirit of slap's going to come on me in a minute. No, I would never do that. But when I was in school and I graduated in 1982, if we had riffraff with someone, here's what we would do. We'd go out back after school, and we would tell them and say, meet me out back. You know where to go. And we'd duke it up, and we would just let it go. And there were times after whoever whooped whoever, I've been on both sides. I'll tell you one time, I was playing in Lawrence County, Kentucky, and I'd slid in a second. I cut their second baseman's leg right through here with my spikes, and yes, I done it on purpose because I was trying to get to the bag, and he was fine. I did it on purpose. He looked at me, said a few things to me. I said things back, and then I looked at him. I said, meet me out behind the dugout after the game. Worst mistake I ever said. That dude wore me out. I mean, I'm a redneck from Kentucky and can handle myself, but man, that guy was stout. I couldn't get a punch in. And the crazy thing was my friend that was our catcher was just standing there laughing, watching me get beat up. And I said, Kevin, help me. He said, you're the one that smarted off. This is your fight, not mine. And but there have been other times when I've been on the other side. But sometimes we get so opinionated, but what we did, we would just go out and we would do that. But now in the world we live today, people bring guns to school. They hold grudges. We have bullying in school. We have all these other things. And sometimes I'm teased. John, we went out and shot yesterday, and I got to know John a little bit. Where's he at? And somewhere, oh, there he is, and got to know him. We had fun, and I joke with him. I'm hoping my joking doesn't offend him, and I think he's been around me now enough to know that that's just what we do, all right? So, dude, you got to deal with it because you're in the family now, all right? So come on. And so, but you know, we do that, and we had a great time yesterday. But the world we live in today is just, it's just crazy. And then he goes on to say this. He says, stick around, and you will see our county shine like we've never shined before. And we will love each other through this tragedy, and as we trust our God to heal our country, our county, every family involved, so proud of our, and then he goes on and thanks the school administrator, the teachers, the first responders, and many others that led them through. And then he said this, led us through yesterday, and we'll do so in the days of ahead. Now listen to me. If you haven't seen a shift in society, you're blind. If you haven't seen a time of how things have changed, you're blind. And so we've got to open up our spiritual eyes as well, and we've got to find out what is this? And I believe it's us showing love like we've never showed love before. Not just love, but the Christ kind of love. And in our scriptures, in Galatians, he talks about that for the whole law can be summed up in this, love your neighbor as yourself. Are you really loving your neighbor as yourself? This one got me the other day. I preach in a Pittsburgh area. I'd met this couple. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm transparent with you all. This couple had not been in church very long. They were living together, had a child out of wedlock, wasn't married, and the church was kind of ridiculing them and that, but they didn't allow the Holy Spirit to take over and convict them. All right, you need to write this in your notes. You are not the Holy Spirit. It's not your job to convict them of their sins. Not your job. Your job is to do what the Bible says is love them. So here's this couple, and then finally to the first of the year, I saw where they contacted the pastor. They wanted to get married, wanted to make things right. They were doing it right. And they're struggling with some finances, and I don't know their whole finances and know a little bit about them, not a whole lot. But they posted on Facebook, can someone please take us, or will you bring us some creamer for our coffee? We're out, and we don't have money to get it. So will someone please bring that to us? Now, how much is creamer coffee? $2. We'll round it off. We'll go high. $5. How many here could afford $5 for cream or coffee for somebody? Come on. About everybody in here, couldn't you? If you really thought I could do that for them. The response, they got one response, and this was the response from the person. And I know them as well, better than the couple. Their response was this. Just drink it black. I'd let nothing hold me back from drinking my coffee. I wanted to put on there, why don't you go buy them some creamer? And I'm 5.5 hours away. But I want to think about sometimes our responses to people when people come to us with their problems. Now, Clint said this a while ago. He said that he can come to me and Justin and pour out. Listen, no matter what he does, I'm going to listen to him, hear him. I'm going to help. I'm going to encourage. And if he's not, all right, don't you dare go out here and say he's not. If Clint would get off track, I would encourage him, get back on track, jump back in there, buddy, and keep going. But in the society we live in, we want to talk. We want to complain. We want to judge. And listen to me, I believe why it's quiet in here today, many people are going through some stuff. And yeah, I'll point blank. How many of you are going through some stuff? Most people in here raise their hand. could be marital problems, could be finances, could be kids, could be my wife is going through some stuff right now with her parents, and she's struggling of what to do. And we're coming up on an anniversary. We're going out of town and go seeing her daughter in El Paso, and her birthday's the next day, and we want to get away a little bit. And so we save up all year long to do these little trips. We don't get to do a bunch, but it's very limited sometimes. And so but she does, she wants the help, and she's working hard. She's doing things, and that's what she said the other day. She said, "I've worked hard all my life. I'm getting to a point that we're getting closer and closer to retirement, and doing those type of things so we can do some stuff." And she's struggling with this. Here's my question: are you showing people the love of Jesus? No matter where you're at. No matter what, because the word says the greatest of these is to love your neighbors, yourself. They try to encourage you to love God first. This is what he says. And so I was listening on the way here. I was listening, flipping through the channels as I do. Sometimes, now I know this may surprise you. Sometimes I listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm listening to praise and worship. Sometimes I coon in a little bit of country. Sometimes I'm just scanning. Sometimes I even do classical music. Sometimes I have a classical musical time, and we'll be in the car, and my wife will look at me like, "What in the world are you listening to?" I said, "So you don't like this, huh?" "No, turn it." Mel says, "That's right, turn it." But I have a variety of styles of music that I like to listen to. But on the way here, I was flipping through, and I was listening to Joyce Myers. And I will be honest with you, when I first got saved, I went to a church that they believed that women could not speak. And then I learned and grew out of that, learned that, yes, they can. God can use women, because if not, he's used women all through the Bible. So I tell people all the time now, say, "Do you need to read your Bible? Because you're not understanding. God can use women and do lots and lots of things, all right?" So it doesn't matter. And matter of fact, I said, sometimes because the men won't do them, maybe God had to use a woman, because a woman listens and men are too stubborn and hard-headed. Good point for you wives to step and say amen. I saw a couple like, "Amen, brother, preach that." But so I was listening to Joyce Myers, and she was talking about things she had went through in her life. Some of you know her story. And she was talking about wisdom, and she said this about wisdom. She said that wisdom, we think of a definition of wisdom. She said, here's what wisdom. Wisdom is making the right decision at the right time. And I added a little bit to that, because when I think about wisdom, you should not make a decision that you're torn against when you're on an emotional high. You should not make it when you're on emotional low. You should give it time to think about it, think it out. Because how many of you have made decisions quick and you made the wrong one? Out of anger, out of hurt, out of being... Once again, one up in someone, want to make yourself feel better than the other person. When we need to look and say, am I doing it the right reason? So as I think about this shooting and this wisdom and what she thought, there were some thoughts that I began to put together in my sermon. And the world we live in today, and I don't know, have you all had very much snow down here, bad weather? Very much, had very little bit. We got hammered. And it was cold for 3 weeks. I mean, not even above freezing. There was days, man, it was like 0 degrees. And my wife would ask me, what are you doing today? I said, I don't want to get out the house. She said, well, I got to go to work. So I drove her to work. Warmed up the car, had it all ready for her, drove her to the front door, picked her up. So I was able to do that, to bless her with that. And when it gets that cold, I don't want to get out. When the snow, my son built, I don't know if y'all saw on Facebook, he built him an igloo, and he had an igloo about this tall. Him and a couple of friends, they had a big old igloo, and they were digging it out. They even took my dog in. My dog's not a big, he's not a small dog. He's about 80-some pounds. He's a mix between a Rottweiler and a Rottweiler Shepherd and a Lab. I couldn't think about even what it was. He's a big dog, and he tried to get him in there. I said, you put him in there, he may jump off and miss the top plumb up. And so they were working on this igloo. But during this cold weather, there was four thoughts that come to my mind. I'm going to share them with you. And I don't like cold weather. And from sometimes who I don't like winter, I don't like cold weather, here's some observed things that I've seen about what happens when it gets colder or when things happen, when a storm happens. Here's number one. Listen to this. Like the snow and ice, sometimes things happen in life that force us to slow down. Now, listen, I know technology. I like technology. Don't get me wrong. I like to have the iPhone, email. I can shoot emails to people. Matter of fact, most of the time now as an evangelist, very few do I talk to people on the phone to schedule meetings. Most people now are email, text message, Facebook. This is true. I have pastors that I can call, I can text, I can email, and they will not respond. I can go on Facebook, and they will respond immediately. So what that tells me is that's where they're hanging out at. That's where, matter of fact, statistics show, I can go into that, but how many millions of people that do that. But I found out that it forces us to slow down, and that isn't necessarily a bad thing because we often let our busyness blind us to the importance of the things that we're missing. Because we're so busy. How many of you are really tired when you get home from work? How many of you come home and take a cat nap? I mean, you get home, you're just exhausted. I understand that, okay? But sometimes we're so busy with doing life that maybe God sent someone right beside you that he wants you to minister to and show his love. Let's go back to what that pastor said. And I want you to think, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper that we have, and I want you to write one thing down here of what you think Believer's Church is for you. Now, see, he identified himself as we're kind people. We're a good community. We're faith people. We're whatever. So I want you to think of something. If you don't want to write it down, that's fine. But I want to encourage you to write it down because when you write it down, it kind of sinks in just a little bit more. But we slow down. The business of that, sometimes we're so busy doing life and doing all these things, we need to slow down. Number two, no matter the storm, we know that eventually the sun will shine again. But how many of you have been through storms? You think, what in the world? You've gone through a sickness. A family member has been sick maybe all their life. But see, we can take heart whether maybe you're in a cloudy moment. Maybe you're in the cold. Maybe you're in that winter. For me, I travel full time. And on the side, I do some yard work. I do some pressure washing. I do some things. It's a little bit tougher in the winter because I can't do that yard work and stuff up in Kentucky like you all here in Georgia. It shuts down. Usually around, I tell people, they say, when is the last time you're going to be cutting my grass? I said, the day before deer season. That's me. I had one lady wanted me to rake her leaves. She said, when can you rake my leaves? I said, well, I don't really do leaves a whole lot, but I said, I will do yours. And she said, well, when you can do it? I said, it'll be 2 weeks. Second week in November, I'm out for 2 weeks because I'm going to be deer hunting. She didn't understand that because she don't deer hunt. And she even called me in the middle of time, when are you coming? I said, I already told you when I'm coming. I ain't come before. I'll be there when it's over. And she was cool with that, but I don't think she forgot. But we got to slow down, all right? And we got to understand that eventually the sun's going to shine. We've been through things. We've been cloudy. It's been snowing. It's iced. It's cold. And you go through those spurs. But listen, Jesus will shine on you, but you can't give up. There's people outside these walls. There's people in Sylvania, Georgia, that's gave up. Come on. They're out there and they gave up. They've gave up hope. Here's what God wants to use Believers Church for, to give people hope. Community. Remember what he said in this? He said, we're a community that loves people. So slow down. Remember, the sun's going to shine. Here's number three. If you get stuck somewhere, and we all do. My my stepdaughter got stuck on a hill when I was at the basketball game, and I've got the four-wheel drive in the family. And so here's one car stuck up on a hill this way. Here's my daughter stuck right here, and there's a car stuck back here. My wife sent me the picture, said, "What do we do?" I said, "You got two options." I said, "You can wait till someone come pulls you out, or you can turn the car off. I'll come and get you, and eventually that stuff's going to melt." And what happened, they pulled one car out, and then she was able to eventually get out, but she couldn't back up because of the traffic behind her. But listen to me, if you are stuck, and sometimes we all do, don't be afraid to accept the help of a friend to get you out of the ditch. Do you hear me? Don't be afraid to let somebody come and help you out of the ditch. We get stuck. Life's not fair. How many of you have been through some stuff that you didn't want to go through it? You didn't ask for it. You didn't sign up for it. But there are people out there that can be a friend that can help you, that will encourage you and say, "Josh, man, get it up." And sometimes I like to say this, "Suck it up, buttercup. Get going. Life's not always fair. That's the way it happens." Have I been there? Absolutely. Don't you? I'm not just preaching to you that I haven't been through things. But I am telling you this, that people like this guy show me love. People like their kids even show me love, being kid friendly. Not giving up. See, we've got to slow down. We've got to understand the sun's going to shine. We've got to understand that there's people that will help pull us out of the ditch. And here's number four. We have to keep our hearts warm. And how many times have you all lived in cold weather that you've had to keep the faucet dripping to keep the water from freezing up? All right, here's a good thought. We have to keep our hearts warm and the water flowing if we want to keep from freezing up. And we got to take time to commune with God and to keep out of the cold. See, that said, you know, here's cool. Summertime's coming. How many's ready for summertime? I am. That's my favorite time of the year other than hunting season. But, I mean, there's times when I'm cold. I told Bob, I said, he was, you know, we always talk about the hunting stuff even during hunting season. After hunting season, we do all kinds of stuff, and that's what we do. And Clint's now, praise God, Clint got the deer. Glory to God, he sent me the picture. I was like, phew. I wanted to bring a trophy and give it to him. Like, yeah, welcome to the deer world. I mean, you know, and got his first buck. I was excited for him. I wish he could see my grin on my face when he got it. I now know how my brother felt and Bob felt when I got my first deer. But we celebrate with people. We don't put them down. We don't push them farther in the ditch. We get them out of the ditch. All right, now listen to me, Believers Church. This is where you come in. Somewhere in this ministry, God can connect you to serve. God did not send you here to this church to just sit here and be called a number. Oh, we got this many people. No, I've always said this. God's not about numbers, but I know he had a book named Numbers. So you are important to God, and he sends you to a place where you can connect. Maybe you have not taken time to connect. Maybe you haven't shown that love, but there are people out here that needs prayer. They don't know what decisions, what to do. I was asking Wesley while ago, I said, "Man, now what's up in school?" And he was telling me, see, he's got a plan. And that's all, you know, we all need to have a plan. But there may be times when the Holy Spirit comes in and said, "This is what I want you to do." I have had opportunities. I'm an evangelist. That's what I'm called to do, to go to church, to church, to church. I've had people call me and want me to pastor church. I said, no, want no part of it, because that's not what I'm called to do. If I do that, I will be out of the will of God. I am what I am. Now, it's not as easy as people think it is. Oh, that must be nice. See, I told Sims management at the Sims Hotel, I like coming there. But there are some places I have to stay that I don't like staying. And it's not being mean, but I can be myself at their house. I know Tammy's always worried about me eating and being taken care of, but I feel comfortable enough that if I'm sitting in their living room and I get hungry, I can look at them and say, I'm hungry, and I'll just go right to the thing and open up the doors and say, I like some of that, and they'd give it to me. So far, they've never turned me down. Have you? Nope. And they always make sure I'm taken care of. They always make sure I'm taken care of. There's places you love to go, listen to me, but there are people in some spots that they don't know where to go. So let's go back to this, what this pastor said. Okay, then I'm going to close. I'm going to hand it over to Clint, and then I'm going to pray for some people here today. He said, Marshall County is strength. Is Believers Church strength? Is Believers Church faith? Is Believers Church that they can get a resolve by trusting the Holy Spirit? Is Believers Church community? Is Believers Church family? Is it unity? And the one I'm preaching on today is, are we showing Jesus' love? Now, I'm going to do this. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Someone shout out something that you wrote on your paper you said Believers Church is. Go. Give me one. Love. Who's over here? Compassion. Family. Anyone else? Knowledge. Anyone else? Okay, listen to me. I've seen those here. Now, what I'm challenging you to do is to connect or reconnect with the vision of Believers Church, Pastor Clint, Pastor Melanie, staff, to say we are going to do what God has called us to do. Y'all can come to the instruments if you want to come and get ready to play. I know that God sent me here today to give you this word. Now, I'm going to give you one more quick thing of what, if they'll put the saying up on and you get your paper out real quick, I'm going to give it. I didn't get to that. I'm going to right now. As we look at what is, and I'm going to title it this morning, how important and what is the word to you? And I'm going to title this, what does the Bible and being a Christian really mean? Now, I want you to look up here. The scriptures are not a how to get into some promised land in the afterlife. It's the how to live here in this life and to live it more abundantly. Listen to me. Living out the biblical promises, not yearly, not every once in a while, not every quarter, every 3 months, every month, once a month. No, it says living out the biblical promises daily. Daily. Now, I want you all to stand with me. You can write that down if you didn't get it. See me after service. I want everyone to bow your head, close your eyes. I feel led today to pray for some people if you need prayer. But first off, is there anyone here to sound of my voice? Says, Kenny, I do not know Jesus, and I don't know his love like that. If that's you, would you just lift up your hands and say, Kenny, would you pray for me? That's not going to save. That's going to acknowledge that God's convicting you. God's the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Anyone at all? Now, let me ask you this question. You can bow your head. You can look up if you want. It's up to you. But how many say, Kenny, I've gone through some stuff right now, and I need some prayer. I need some help. I need some encouragement. That you lift up your hand. How many may say, I need to be led more of the Holy Spirit, and I need to trust God more, and I need to let Him guide me. I need to let Him lead me. Is there anyone? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Be honest. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a corporate prayer over you. I'm going to step down here. I'm going to give it back to Clint. He's going to do what he does. But then I'm going to grab right here, and I'm going to pray for you. If you want to come up here, you can do whatever. Make sure if you want prayer, Bob and Tammy, I think, are here to pray with you as well. If other people that are here, if we get the altars full, that's awesome to have. That's awesome to have the altars full because people are seeking God. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given me. I encourage you. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Clint, Believers Church, and, Lord, who they are. I thank you, Lord, that you're stirring them and you are coming in this fresh in this year and in January. And as you send me here today, Lord, to encourage them of what this church really is. It's community. It's love. It's knowledge. It's these things that they even called out. And maybe there's people that has things on their paper they didn't call out today. But Lord, I've seen, Lord, many hands raised here today that need help, that need encouraged, that need strength, that need some direction. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to minister to them in Jesus' name.